There's really two types of sugyas. There's a sugya of halacha, and there's a sugya of agoda. And each one has its difficulty. The difficulty of a sugya of halacha is, of course, the calculations and the svaras and the different machloiksim and working out, maskonas, etc., etc. A gemara like the one we're about to learn, which is not halacha at all, it's all agadaic. The difficulty in a gemara like this is not so much the logic and the machloiksim, there's no machloiksim as such. More, it's just very often agadaic gemaras are written in a cryptic manner, quoting psukim invariably from the Novi. And therefore it's rather cryptic and poetic, and therefore sometimes even just a simple translation of the words and trying to understand what's meant is itself very difficult. As opposed to Gemara's in Halacha, translation of the words is not that difficult necessarily. It's more putting all the pieces together. So either way, let's try and continue with the Sugya Nun Beis Amud Beis, and we'll try and make our way towards the bottom of the Amud. So we have been discussing at the top of the Amud, and also the previous Amud, a lot of discussion, agadaic discussion, about the Yetzer Hara. We mustn't, by the way, make a mistake. When I say there's a sugya of agoda and there's a sugya of halacha, technically speaking, every sugya in Shas is also halacha. Meaning, if Chazal felt it worthy, felt it necessary to put an entire omud in the Gemara all about the Yetzer Hara, it wasn't just of historical interest or agadaic mental stimulation. It's also halacha. Everything is halacha. We're supposed to learn lessons from it. Supposed to apply it, supposed to internalize it, supposed to make it very real. So it's also halacha as such. When we say it's not halachic, what we mean is not halacha in the typical sense. It's not going to be a sif in Shulchan Aruch. Hilchas Lulav, or Hilchas Simchas Beis HaShoeva, or Hilchas Mizbeach, or whatever it may be. So we've been discussing much about the Yetzer Hara. The very last thing we said last time was, it says you should drag the Yetzer Hara to the Beis HaMedrash. That is the ultimate and the best antidote to the Yetzer Hara. The Mesillas Yesharim gives his famous moshel. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says in this Gemara and other places that I have created a Yetzer Hara, and I've created Torah, which is the tavlin, which is the antidote against the Yetzer Hara. So the Mesillas Yesharim, in typically simple fashion, says, who on earth is going to argue? Meaning, if HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the one who created the Yetzer Hara, and he himself is telling you how to do battle against him, then who in the world is going to be the one to turn around and say, no, I've got a different strategy. I don't think Torah is necessary. It's like going to an expert doctor, he says, and he prescribes a medication for you, and you're going to argue with him? Worse still, I'll give you even a better marshal. Imagine you get a virus on your computer. You worry this is going to kill off your whole computer. And you meet somebody and he says, listen, I'll tell you the truth. I was the one who put the virus there in the first place. I'm very, very sorry. If you want to get it off, this is what you're going to do. What are you going to do? You're going to argue with him? He's the one who put the virus there, and he is the one best equipped to know how to deal with it. So if he tells you, listen, the virus is ABC, and the way you get rid of it is DEF, well, only a fool would say, no, 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 I'd rather go it my way.
I don't like to interrupt you. They're so evil, these people who created the virus.
Okay, it was only a moshel.
Hashem, the difference.
Yeah, a moshel. A moshel is always a simple story to understand something more profound. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells us that I created the Yetzer Hara for whatever reason. We discussed early on in the week, ultimately that gains us Olam Haba when we battle against the Yetzer Hara. But the very same HaKadosh Baruch Hu who created the Yetzer Hara in the first place also tells us how to battle against him. So it's a very simple equation. The stronger you are in Limud Torah, the more chances you have against the Yetzer Hara. It's as simple as that. I might need to refer to some of your notes, as long as it's not a video recording.
Higgledy-piggledy.
Okay.
these two that we need for the moment.
Okay.
Let's have a look at the Gemara. We reach, if I'm not mistaken, the Gemara that says Rav Huna Romi Ksiv. The last word on the line is Rav. Rav Huna Romi Ksiv. Romi, literal translation of the word Romi, is to throw. Like we said this morning in Davening, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Romo Vayom. He threw them, he hurled them into the sea. But metaphorically, it means a contradiction. When you ask a contradiction, really, what are you doing? You're throwing A against B. That's what you're doing. So, Rav Huna Romi Ksiv. Rav Huna posed the following question, but it's not just a question, it's actually a contradiction. It says, on the one hand, Ki ruach znunim hit'eh. Now, ruach znunim hit'eh, the word hit'eh means misled. To be toya. This is not to be mistaken with the word toya with a test, which means a mistake. So this is a reference to the Yetzer Hara. Hit'eh, misled you. V'ksev, and it is also written, bekirbom, it is inside of you. So, what is the contradiction over here? If I mislead you, I'm not you. I'm somebody outside of you misleading you. It's an external force trying to mislead you. But then the suggestion would be that the Yetzer Hara is some sort of outside force trying to mislead us. Problem is that we have another pasuk which talks about the Yetzer Hara and it says, Bekirbom, inside of them. So is it an external force or an internal force? That's the contradiction. Says Rashi, his om means, says Rashi, to'us ba'alma, merely, ba'alma means merely to'us, being led astray. But bekirbom, mashma, notua belibom. What does it mean, notua belibom? Planted in their heart. It's not just merely happens to be led astray. It's something which is right, inherent, inside of them. So what's going on? That was the question that Rav Huna posed. So he answered, betchila hisam, ulebesoif bekirbom. They're both true. It's a process. The Yetzer Hara begins as an external force. He ends up as an internal force, meaning it becomes part and parcel of the person. What does that mean, it becomes part and parcel of the person? He grabs hold of you. And he has you in his clutches that it becomes part of your very makeup. It almost becomes nature. Imagine, for example, somebody is a super-duper davener. Davens very well. So the Yetzer Hara wants to try and bring him down. So what does he do? Every so often he tries to do battle and he tries to get him not to concentrate in the davening, to daydream. You wouldn't say that's what he is in essence. To the contrary, he's a super davener. He davens with tremendous concentration. But the Yetzer Hara, what does he do? He makes somebody's phone ring. He makes something drop on the floor. He plants an idea in your mind which you think you have to think about in the middle of davening. If he's victorious, then the next time round, it's easier for the Yetzer Hara to win. And the next time, even easier. The next time, even easier. Such that eventually, the person doesn't concentrate. He's not machaven in davening. He's got no kavona. So it becomes part and parcel such that that now becomes his essence. That is his essence. His essence is somebody who davens b'lei kavona. Whereas in the beginning, his essence was somebody who davened with kavona who happens occasionally to stumble. Now, it's become the opposite. It's a person who essentially davens b'lei kavona, if one didn't win the battle against the Yetzer Hara in the beginning. Omar Rav betchila karu holach. In the beginning, the Yetzahara is called a hoylech. What does a hoylech mean? A traveler. Ula basayif karu oireach. And then he's eventually called a guest. Ula basayif karu ish. The man. The balabos. What does that mean? That also reflects the process that we just spoke about. Shenema. So pasuk in Shmuel vayavei hoylech leisha asher vayachmoy lokachas mitzoynoi umibekaroi laasoyis loireach. So how does the pasuk begin? Vayavei hoylech, a wayfarer, a traveler arrived on the scene, and then it describes in the end of the pasuk as what? As an oireach. Uksiv, and then it says vayikach es kivsaso ish harosh vayasel ish habo elav. He's then described as the Ish. This is the famous Moshel, of course, when Nosna Novi comes to Dovah Melech and he talks about the guests from outside town who visits, and he takes somebody's sheep from the poor man, so why did you take Uriah Hachiti's wife, etc., etc. But we see over here, the process over here. Initially he's described as a hoylech. What does a hoylech mean? You wouldn't even talk about a hoylech as a visitor. A visitor means he is with me, just on a temporary basis. But if he's a hoylech, he's just a traveler. Maybe he just knocked on the door, but then he disappears. Oireach is an upgrade. He's with me, very much with me, not on a permanent basis. An ish means he's the boss. He's taking over the house. Says the Gemara, that's exactly what happens also to the Yetzirah. He starts off as a hoylech. He ends up being an oireach, and finally he ish takes hold of you. Says Rashi, hoylech oiver derech olov. He is merely just passing his way. Ve'enoi mis trip up, and then it becomes more permanent, and then eventually he's the boss. It's almost impossible to escape his clutches. Says the Gemara, Omar b'Yoichanon, Eiver Koton Yesh Loi La'odom. A person has a small Eiver, this is obviously referring to the Mokim Hamila, small organ in the guf, which he can choose, if he so wishes, to indulge in. However, he has to realize the consequences. Mar Ivoi, what does Mar Ivoi mean? If he starves it, means he doesn't overindulge. The root of the word mariva is, of course, ra'av, which hunger. If he starves it, sova, we'll see soon, he will eventually be satiated. Masbiyoi. But if he is in constant pursuit of satiating this aver cotton, he has to realize ra'av, he's going to be worn out. So you have to take your pick. Shenema. As it is written, Pasuk says, "Kemar isom vayisbo'u." What does that mean? "Kemar isom vayisbo'u," as they afflicted themselves, vayisbo'u, such they were satiated. In other words, the less you indulge at an earlier age, the better you'll be at a later age. Says Rashi, "Eiver katan gvio gid," the organ of the gid, which is the mila. Masvioi betashmish, if he wants to satiate himself with tashmish amito, with relations, ra'iv, he'll end up hungry. What does that mean, he'll end up hungry? Gufoi choser koyach, his guf will end up devoid of koyach, v'ra'iv, and will be hungry, le'eis zikna, in the older age. But, the other way around, if he, as it were, starves himself, he doesn't overindulge, then, to the contrary, sova b'koyach sholem. Then you'll have full koyach at a later age. B'kitzer, if he overindulged at a younger age, it comes at a price at the later age. Then you'll end up hungry. Whereas if he was prepared not to indulge at an earlier age, then at a later age he will be satiated, meaning he will have full koyach. Says the Gemara, second wine line. Omar Rav Chana Bar Acha Omri Bei Rav. It's a very, very difficult to understand Gemara, even on a simple level. Arbo'o mischaret alehen HaKadosh Baruch Hu Sheberoam. There are four things, or entities, or nations, or people, we will see, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu regretted ever creating them. Which, of course, is very, very, very difficult to understand, theologically very difficult. What does that mean, HaKadosh Baruch Hu regretted? When we regret something, it means we made a mistake. Shame I did A, because I didn't realize it would end me up in B. Had I only known the consequences, I would never have done it. But how can you say that about the Rebbeinu Shel Olam? HaKadosh Baruch Hu knows all of the consequences, and if he created it, obviously there was good reason for creating it. So what does it mean HaKadosh Baruch Hu regretted it? As if to say, Kavi Yachal, HaKadosh Baruch Hu made a mistake, Chas V'Shalom? How do we understand that? How are we to understand that? Very, very difficult Gemara. But either way, there are four that HaKadosh Baruch Hu regretted creating. What are they? Ve'elu Hein. Golus, exile, the fact that Klal Yisrael were in exile, Kaviyachal HaKadosh Baruch Hu regretted ever creating the entity and the concept of Golus. Kastim are the Babylonians. V'Yishma'elim, as we know, the nation of Yisrael. V'Yetzahara and the Yetzahara.
Raising the creation of
Yitzhara. So, as we said, it cannot be literally translated that HaKadosh Baruch Hu regrets the creation of his entities. There's no such thing. So there are various interpretations. The Maharal explains that what it means is none of these things have a tachlis in and of itself. They are all just mediums to a cause, like you said. The Yetzer Hara is essentially a bad thing. So why do we say that to an extent it's praiseworthy? Because it happens to be, if you battle against the Yetzer Hara, then you will end up in a Beseder. So what it means that HaKadosh Baruch Hu regrets it, doesn't mean that HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, whoops, I made a mistake. Rather, it means that they have no real right to exist independently. The Yetzirah, if not for what it could do, and the Yetzirah is essentially a bad thing because it distances a person from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. If you battle against it and you're victorious, then it can be a wonderful thing. If you remember, we quoted a Medrash early on, it says HaKadosh Baruch Hu saw the Bria and you saw it was Toiv Ma'oid. Say Chazal, what does Toiv Ma'oid mean? Zeha Yetzirah. Why is the Yetzirah Toiv Ma'oid? The answer is because if you overcome it, then it's a wonderful thing. That's how the morale explains. Either way, let's now back these up. Says the Gemara, Golos. What does it mean, or where do you see that HaKadosh Baruch Hu regretted, as it were, creating Golos? Dechsev, because it is written in the Pasuk, in Yeshaya. Va'ato, it says, Mali Poi. Noom Hashem ki lokach ami chinom. What does Mali Poi mean? And now, what have I got here? Mali Poi. Poi means over here. What have I got here, says Hashem, that my nation are taken away for chinom, for nothing? Which sounds like, as it were, HaKadosh Baruch Hu sees the Golos, as it were, being pointless. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu regrets it. Kastim, the Babylonians. Diksiv, it's another pasuk, it says, Hain, behold, Eretz Kastim Zeha'om Loihoya, the nation that wasn't. What does that mean, the nation that wasn't? But they jolly well were. I.e., what it means is that they weren't the nation that wasn't. I wish it was that they wasn't, that they didn't exist. Third one on the list, the Yishma'elim, it says, another pasuk in Iyov. Says Yishlo Oyalim L'shoydedim. Oyalim is, of course, tents. The tents of bandits or of robbers, Yishlo will prosper. Ubatuchois lemargize kale. And those who provoke HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Abatuach, what does it mean Abatuach? They seem very secure, they seem just fine. The ones who anger HaKadosh Baruch Hu seem to be doing just fine. La'asher hevi eloika b'yodin, which HaKadosh Baruch Hu brought about with his own hand. In other words, these margizei keil, these God angerers, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, well, I was the one who created them. And yet, they're the ones angering me. Why did I do that? Kaviyachol. And finally, Yetzahara, because it says, another pasuk, it says, V'asher harei oisi. Asher harei oisi, I was the one who caused, Kadosh Baruch Hu says, to be evil. I made him evil. So now we're going to elaborate a little bit. Om Rabbi Yechanon, Ilmole Shalosh Mikrois Halalu. If not for the following three psukim, Nismoitetu Raglehem Shal Seinehem Shal Yisrael. Now we had this expression early on in the Gemara. Sometimes Seinehem Shal Yisrael can actually be a reference to Klal Yisrael themselves. Now this Gemara is extremely delicate. And we mustn't, chas v'shalom, misunderstand it.
What's
this multitude? It's all collapse. If not for the following three psukim, the Seineim Shel Yisrael, which actually means Klal Yisrael themselves, would collapse, would falter. Meaning, we're now going to quote three psukim whose essence really defends and protects Klal Yisrael. Because if not for these psukim, Klal Yisrael would collapse. What does that mean? Chad, one pasuk it says, V'hasher hari oisi. The pasuk we just quoted a minute ago. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I was the one who caused the Yetzahara to be evil. What this means is as follows. A person is going to have to give din v'cheshbon after 120. So we all have a list of excuses, and we're going to say to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I had a big Yetzahara. Now, the real answer is, say that, you should have overcome the Yetzahara. HaKadosh Baruch Hu only gives the Yetzahara to a person that he can overcome. This Gemara, that's why I say it's very delicate, can be easily misunderstood, is telling you that because HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself admits that he is the one who created the Yetzirah, he is the one who made him evil, that is ultimately the protection of Klal Yisrael. Because I can turn around to my creator and say, well, you yourself said you made the Yetzirah evil, so what do you want from me? Now, why do I say this could be easily misunderstood? Because this doesn't mean we're going to come upstairs after 120 and bring Sukkah Daf Nun Beis on base and say, that's it, I'm all done and dusted, I'm just fine. Because the Gemara says it's all Hashem's fault, Kaviyachol. No, it doesn't mean that. It means we would have collapsed. At least we have, as it were, some sort of partial excuse. We had a Yetzirah, and you yourself acknowledge that you created him, you made him evil. The first pasuk that says, V'hari Yosi, V'chad, another pasuk that says, Hinei kachoymer b'yad ha-yetzer, just like the choymer, which is clay, is in the hands of the potter, so too, Kein Atem, you too are also in the hands of the Yetzirah. In other words, thank you very much, you've just helped me there. Because once again, HaKadosh Baruch Hu has himself acknowledged, just like a clay in the hands of the potter. I mean, he doesn't stand a chance. The potter is going to beat him black and blue, shape him as he sees fit. So who's the boss? The potter. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself writes in the Navi that that is the comparison between us and the Yetzirah. Well, you've just gone and told me, therefore, that to an extent, I'm fighting a losing battle. And finally, the pasuk that says, V'hasiroisi eslev ho'evan, this is referring to the future, Mibasarchem, I will remove the heart of stone. from your flesh, v'nosati lochem leiv vosa, and I will give you a new leiv, a leiv out of flesh. Ah, that means you're acknowledging that until now, what did I have?
Stone.
Heart of stone. So how do you expect me to survive? I can't beat up stone. Rav Papa Oma, af mehai nami. Rav Papa says, I can actually quote a fourth pasuk, which is, as it were, a partial defense of Klal Yisrael, because it says, ve'esruchi etein bekirbechem, and I will put my spirit within you. Which means that what? Until that happens, you do not have my spirit in you. So what do you have in you? Yetzara. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu again has acknowledged that what do we have inside of us? Yetzara. Okay. Now, because we just discussed the Gemara that talks about La'asid Lavoi, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will remove the Yetzara. If you remember, we actually discussed this in the last Amud. It says that they will shech the Yetzara, the Tzadikim will cry, the Rishayim will cry. So now we're going to continue talking about La'asid Lavoi. It says in the Pasuk, Vayar'eini Hashem arbo'o charoshim. Who's talking over here? Yechezkel. Yechezkel Anovi says, it's actually Zechariah. Zechariah Anovi says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu showed me Arbo'o Charoshim. What does it mean, Arbo'o Charoshim? Four craftsmen. Again, it's all very agadeic and a little bit cryptic. What are these four craftsmen? Man niu arbo'o charoshim. Do we miss out a couple of rashis? Oyalim l'shoydedim. Or go back, Golus. Shehigle es Yisrael. Kadosh Baruch Hu, as it were, regretted that he ever exiled Klal Yisrael. Loi hoya, the nation that didn't exist, as it were. Well, they did exist. What it means is, Einoi kedai. They weren't worthy of existence. V'halavai lo yhoya. I wish they wouldn't have been. Oyalim reshedidim. Elu arvim. These are the Arabs. Hashoychanim ba'ohalim. They reside in tents b'midborois in the desert. V'royim mikne kol yimeim. And they shepherd sheep all of their days. V'ksiv sefer dekra. It says at the end of the pasuk. La'asher heivi kloima. Who atzmo HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself goram loy caused har gozosai, caused them to anger him shehivim boilam, because he was the one who brought them to the world. So these Arabs who are good for nothings and they just cause people to anger Hashem, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, well, I must be honest, I was the one who created them, I was the one who caused this problem, because I was the one who brought them into the world. Mali poi zuhi charota, this is regret. Vasher harayoisi reisha dekro. In the beginning of the pasuk it says oisva hatzoilo vahanitcho akabtsev asher harayoisi, which means ani barasi es yetzahara. I created the yetzahara hamachtiom, who causes them to sin. Vegoramti lohem kol zois, and I was the one, says HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who caused all of this. Shloisha mikrois hameidim, they all testify shahaavoinois, that sins vahazuchuyois and merits are biyodoi v'toichen halavovois. It's all these psukim talk about the fact that averas are all, as it were, Kadosh Baruch Hu, or the yitzharas control v'toichen halavovois, and talk about the essence of one's heart. Also testify that it's not my fault. I was given a heart of stone. Okay, back into the Gemara. So we saw that Zechariah was shown in a Nevuah, HaKadosh Baruch Hu showed him four charoshim. What does four charoshim mean? Four craftsmen. What are they? Man, ninhu, arbo'o, charoshim. What are these four craftsmen? Omer Rav Chana bar Bizna, Omer Rav Shimon Chasida. I'll tell you what the four are. Mashiach ben David, Umoshiach ben Yosef, ve'Eliyahu, ve'Koyen Tzedek. Who are these four and why are they called Charoshim? So let's have a look at Rashi. Charoshim, says Rashi, umanim. What's an uman?
Craftsman.
Like we're going to read repeatedly in this week's parasha, and the parasha's coming, you build a base on Migdosh, the Mishkan Maisei Uman, it's a craftsman's work. Mashichim, the Mashichim, plural, why the plural? Because of Mashiach ben Yosef and Mashiach ben David. Shneim Charoshim, they are both craftsmen, Lebinyan Beis HaMikdash. That's why the Mashiach is described as the craftsman, because what does he craft, what does he build? He builds the Beis HaMikdash. Eliyahu, why is Eliyahu called a craftsman? Chorash Even, he is a stone worker. Shebonam Izbeach Bahar HaKarmel, because he built the Mizbeach, remember the story with Eliyahu Hanavi and the Nevi'im, and they tried to be makriv their sheep and nothing happened, or their ox, and then Eliyahu Hanavi was makriv his, and the fire descended from heaven. So he was the one who built, who constructed the Mizbeach Shel Even. So that's why again we refer to him as a craftsman. Motzinu shehu osid lehishtaleach, we find Eliyahu Hanavi will eventually be sent to redeem Klal Yisrael. Finally, who is the last one in this list, the fourth and final craftsman, the Kohen Tzedek? Now, who is the Kohen Tzedek? Says Rashi, ooh, Shem ben Noach. Remember in the beginning of Parshas Noach, it says Noach has three children, Shem, Chom, v'Yofes. Shem is called the Malki Tzedek. V'nikro Cheresh, or Chorosh. Why is he also referred to as a craftsman? Because it says, v'yichazik Chorosh es Tzoyreif. So we have a passage that refers to him as a craftsman. It's not clear why. It says Rashi, ubebereshis rabo mefarishle. The Medrash, in fact, explains to us, b'malki tzedek shebo likras Avraham ubirchoi vechizkoi. Remember the pasuk after Avraham Avinu did battle the four kings, the five kings. It says vayovei malki tzedek and gave him lechem and yayin and gave him a bracha. Who was that malki tzedek? Shem ben Noach. So why do you call him a chorosh? The koru chorosh al shem binyan hateva. Because he constructed the teva shebono im aviv that he built together with his father. So all four, Mashiach ben Yosef, again we're talking about Mashiach's times, Mashiach ben Yosef, Mashiach ben David, Eliyahu, and Shem ben Noach, all considered craftsmen. Either they built the Beis HaMikdash or a Mizbeach or the Teva. Says the Gemara, Mosiv Rav Sheshes. Rav Sheshes asks a kasha. What's the kasha? Ihochi, if this is so, Hainu Diksiv, how will you explain the pasuk that says, Eile Hakronois Asher Zeru Es Yehuda? These horns, this is the Malach talking, these horns that dispersed, Zeru is like from the Malacha of Zeira, winnowing, that dispersed Klal Yisrael. Hani Leshuva Osu. These four people that we described, Eliyahu and Mashiach, what is their function? It's true they constructed, they built, but what is their function? Their function is to gather in Klal Yisrael and restore them, Leshuva, to return them to Eretz Yisrael. So why does the Navi refer to them as Zeru? What does Zeru mean? The opposite of return them, scatters them around. So what's going on? These four, is their job to restore Klal Yisrael back to Eretz Yisrael, or to the contrary, to scatter them around? So he answered, says the Gemara, Omalei. So Rav Chana answered back, Shvil. What does Shvil mean? Go down. Like an onov is called a shuffle, low. Go down, l'sefer dekro. You have to go down, keep reading to the end of that pasuk. It says, and the pasuk says, Vayovoy, Vayovoyu eile lahachrid oisom. These have come to terrify them. Liyadois eskarnois hagoyim. To bring down the horns of the nations, Hanoisim Karen, who raise a horn, El Eretz Yehuda Lozoroisa, to disperse it. In other words, who are the horns that are mentioned in this pasuk? The pasuk talks about horns dispersing Klal Yisrael. So we thought that which horns were they? Mashiach, Eliyahu, does it make sense? Because their job is not to disperse us, they're to the contrary, their job is to gather us back in. So someone, if you keep on reading to the end of the pasuk, you'll see that in fact the horns being referred to over here are not Mashiach, to the contrary, they're the Goyim. The Goyim are the ones trying to disperse us. Says Rashi, Shvil the Sefer Dekra, the Elo Akron is that very pasuk, Vayavoyu Elo Lahachrid Oysom, quote unquote, Soif HaPasuk, the end of the pasuk, that's why you've got to keep on reading to the end, Hoychiach proves, Shetchilosoi Einoi Medaber B'Charoshim, proves that the beginning of the pasuk was never referring to these Charoshim, i.e., Mashiach and Eliyahu. Elo, Ba'umois. Rather, it's referring to the nations of the world. Sh'al es ha-Novi es ha-Malach. When the Novi asked the Malach, Ma Eila ha-Charoshim, Omar Loi, Eila ha-Kronos, Kloimar, Umois, Halolu, these nations, the Goyim, Asher Zoru es Yehuda, Vayavoyu Eila ha-Charoshim, La-Hachred, Oysam, Ha-Kronos, Liyadiz, Es Karnois, Ha-Goyim. It's clearly indicative from the end of the pasuk that what's being referred to? The Goyim. The Goyim are indeed the ones who scatter Klal Yisrael and do not gather them in. So when he heard that back into the Gemara, Omalei, Sir Rav Shesha says back to Rav Chana, wow. Bahadi Chana, he's having a conversation with Rav Chana. Bahadi Chana ba'agadat alomali. Why would I argue with Rav Chana in Agoda? I see that you explain the psukim so beautifully that I can't really compete with you. Says Rashi, Shvil, Hashpil atzmacha, lower yourself, letachtis hamikra, to the bottom of the pasuk. What does that mean? L'sayfay, to the end. Omer of Sheshes, Bahadi Chana ba'agadat alomali, Mali etzloi. What am I doing next to him? Bahagoda. Bokihu ba'agoda mimeni. He's far greater an expert in Agadaic Gemaras, Agadaic texts, and Yonim, than I am. V'loy uchaloy, and I'll never be able to overcome him. So, it's a no battle. He's far greater than me. I see that I struggle to understand this pasuk because I thought the pasuk was talking about Mashiach. Turns out, from the Goyim. How do you know? From the end of the pasuk. Wow, I see that he's so great in Agoda that quite frankly, there's no dispute over here.
So
no competition.
He didn't read to the end of the pasuk.
Yeah, he didn't understand that the end of the pasuk is a reference to the beginning of the pasuk. That was Rav Chana's apparently great revelation to him. Says the Gemara, another pasuk. Vahoya ze shalom. Ashur. Kiyovoi ba'artzeinu, I mean Syria, will come to our land, v'chi yidroich ba'armonaseinu, v'hakemoinu olav shivoroi mushmoinu nesichi odin. If they try treading upon our palaces, we will set up, says the Novi, shivoroim. What's shivoroim? Seven shepherds and eight princes. It's a pasuk in Micha. What does that mean? Who are the seven shepherds of Klal Yisrael? Man ninhu shiva royim. Who are these seven shepherds? Says the Gemara, David ba'emza. David HaMelech is in the middle. Odom, Sheis, Umesushelach, Miyaminoi, they're on the right. Avram Yaakov u'Moshe, Bismoiloi. For some reason, they are considered the seven shepherds of Klal Yisrael. Now, who is obviously missing from this list?
Yitzchak.
Why? Look in Rashi. Rashi says, I don't know why. Look in Rashi. Very, very strange. Shivaroyim. v'shmoyne nesichim. Says Rashi, loy yodati bohem tam. I don't know the reason behind this. K'meduma li, it would appear to me, damrinon ba'alma, that the people generally say, but I don't know if it's true or not, says Rashi, v'yitzchak leichon ozal. Yitzchak, where did he go to? Why does he not appear on this list? Lahatzil bonov midino shel gehenem. To save his descendants from the din of Gehenna, k'diksev ki'ata ovinu. Very, very cryptic. I can't really say I understand. And the truth is, Rashi himself says he doesn't understand. So we're in good company. Finally, what does it mean that in addition to seven shepherds, HaKadosh Baruch Hu also set up eight princes for Klal Yisrael? Who are they? Says the Gemara, Ma ninu shmoyne nesiche Adam. Who are the eight princes? Yishai, that's the father of Melech v'Shaul, Ushmuel, Amos, v'Tzfania, Tzidkiyahu, the six, u'Moshiach seven, v'Eliyahu and Eliyahu.
Which Moshiach?
Says Rashi, Amos v'Tzfania, min ha'Naviim hayu. They were the Naviim. Adam sheis musushelach min atzadikim. They were the righteous people, as we know, sheyukedim hamakul. Sheloi chatu ad doir enosh. Kedeksev osuch musushelach tzadik gomruhi. What was unique? What was musushelach's famous place in history? He lived longer than any other human being in the history of the world. Mr. Shalach lived to 967 years. Nobody lived that long. Imagine. Can you come around, imagine? And you recollected. Yeah, this was, I remember, I was going back a good 600-700 years ago or so. Shivas yomim shenitlu ledoir ha-mabul, heini me'evlo yishom Mr. Shalach. The mabul was, as it were, put on hold for 7 days, because it says Mr. Shelach died just before. There were 7 days of Shiva, and then the Mabul came after that. So a lot of this Gemara is very cryptic, very, very difficult to understand. But let's make a move into the next piece of Gemara, and we'll try and get to the bottom of the Amud as we planned. If you remember, we were discussing the Simchas Beis HaShe'eva, and it says there were four ladders with the Pirchei of the Kohenim used to go out with 120 lug of Shemen. It says the Gemara, V'arba'o yelodim shel Pirchei Kohuna ubideyem kadei Shemen shel mea v'etzrim lug. Iboy Elohu. So we have now, says the Gemara, the following question. What's the question? Sorry, I missed that a line. Arba'a sulamois. I missed out 3 lines. Arba'a sulamois. There were 4 ladders. Tana. Goiva shel menoira chamishim amu. The height of the menoira, which is beautiful to be learning it, because as mamish this week's parsha, is the height of 50 amas. Varba'a yeladim shel perchei kohuna. Ubideim kadei shemen shel mev esrim lug. The Gemara has the following question. Iboy Elohu. Mea ve'estrim lug l'kulhu. Was it 120 lug altogether for all four? I do, but kol chad v'chad. Or maybe each one of them had 120, which means there are really 480 in total. Says the Gemara, says Rashi on the second wide line, l'kulhu. Maybe 120 lug is l'kulu la'arbas hayolodim, all 4 children together, which means to have a shloshim l'kolchad, which means that each one actually only had 30. Says the Gemara, we can prove it because it's clearly written in the Braisa. Toshema, ubiyadeyem, and in their hands, kadei shemen, shel shloshim, shloshim lug. Well, it's clear. Shehem kulam me'av esrim lug. So it's clearly non-negotiable. It is absolutely clear in the Braisa that it was 120 altogether, 30 each. Says the Gemara Tam. Vehein Meshubachin Hoyu Yosef. These Pirkei Kohuna are more praiseworthy Mibno than the son of Marta Bas Baisus. What was unique about the son of Marta Bas Baisus? Because Omru al Bino Shel Marta Bas Baisus, they said about the son of Marta Bas Baisus, Shehoyo Noitel Shtei Yerechois Shel Shoir Hagodel. But he was so strong, he could take two thighs of a Shoir Hagodel, of a large ox, Shelokuach be'elav zuz, bought for 1,000 zuz. So clearly we're talking about an enormous shoir. Umahalech okev betzad goydel, and he was able to walk from heel to toe. Normally, as Rashi is going to explain, let's have a look at Rashi. Normally when you're carrying a hairy load, you sort of totter about and you stumble, and you can't, very hard to walk in small, measured, deliberate steps. In this matter, they were more praiseworthy in their koyach, Yosemi b'no shel Marta. Because b'no shel Marta bas baisus koyen hoyo, ekev b'tzad goydel, heel upon toe. Hoylichon b'kevesh b'nachas, was able to walk up the ramp. B'nachas, what does b'nachas mean? Slowly, carefully, deliberately. Ekev regel echod, the heel of one foot, betzad goydel shel chaverto, next the toe of one foot, next to the heel of another. V'derech noisei masoi, the normal way of carrying a load is larut, to run. Very hard to walk carefully and deliberately. You're busy tottering all over the show. So he was so strong, he was able to walk up the kevesh, carrying this enormous shoir. And what happened? Walked very, very carefully. These kainim were stronger than that still. That's why it means they're meshubachim. Says the Gemara, V'loi henichu echo b'kainim laso iskein. However, the Koyanim did not allow him to do this. In other words, he didn't want him to bring two thighs of a large shoir onto the Mizbeah. Why not? He was so strong that he was able to take two enormous thighs of an enormous ox single-handed up the Mizbeah. But it's much more covered for the melech if what? If several people are involved. Imagine you send a delegation to the melech. It's more mechubad with more people, not just one person. Says Rashi, third bottom line. They didn't allow him to transport these two limbs. Rather, they wanted the number which is explained in Gemara and Yuma. It says par korev b'chof dalad, the cow is sacrificed with how many people? 24. Why? The more people are there, the more mechubad it is for the king. Says the Gemara in conclusion, says the Gemara, my meshubachim. What exactly does it mean they're more meshubach, they're more praiseworthy? In what aspect? Ilema, if you're going to tell me, mishum yukra. What does it mean, mishum yukra?
Carry more. Because of the weight, they're stronger.
And as you might say, that while they were more praiseworthy, he carried two thighs of an ox. Oh, they were carrying much more oil. Yukra means yokar, weight. So, ilem shum yukra, honey, yukiri tfei. Doesn't make sense. Because actually, two thighs of an ox are heavier than 30 a lug of an oil. So you can't say I'm more praiseworthy. He was carrying more than that. Says Rashi, im yishum yukra koived hamasui, the weight of the load. It can't be. Hani yakiri tvei, shtei yireichos keilu, two thighs as these, kevedos are heavier, mishloshim lug, are heavier than 30 lug. So you can't praise the Pirchei Kuna. Wow, look how much they carried. It's even more than the son of Maritus plus Pais. It's not true, he carried more. So that can't be what the praiseworthy aspect is. Says the Gemara, Elohosam, Kevesh, Umarubo, Veloizokif. Because, although he carried a heavier load, but it's much easier because it was a gradual incline up the Kevesh. Hocha sulamois, but here it was up a ladder, the Zokif Tuvan is very upright. Oh, that's a very, very difficult proposition. It might well be that they were carrying less weight-wise. But it's easier to carry more if you've got a gradual slope, says Rashi. The last line. Kevesh umaruba. Kevesh hoyo mashapea b'shipua. It's up a slope. Oirech, the length, is korav arba amois. Shipua l'kol amo, the slope of each amo, is goiva. The Stein v'shloisha amo, oirach letisha goiva. The entire height was 32. Sorry, a length of 9.
Height of 9, no?
As we said, of the mizbeach.
Yeah.
It's a height of 9, and a length of the slope was 32 amos long. No, so if you make a cheshbon, if you're traveling horizontally 32 amas and you're only climbing 9, that's about a 1-in-4 ratio. So for every amma you are climbing, you're actually moving forward 4 amas. So it's not a very difficult climb. Whereas going up a ladder, which is completely perpendicular, or almost leaning a bit upright, that's a harder proposition. And that's what the Gemara is saying. The Pirchei Kuna were more Meshumachim. Okay, I'm afraid we'll have to leave it here for a few days. Unless you want to join me in London. But failing that, we'll reconvene Be'ez Hashem a week from today.
Thursday
morning. So I leave it to you either keep moving in the Gemara, or Chazara, or both. But to Be'ez Hashem, Thursday we'll reconvene.
Are we
going to
do Chazara on the... See, your choice.